So molestations arise because there's falsity in the thinking. So they can have a quality of self-satisfaction. You can run through the list, you know, proprial delights. That's still a form of molestation because it's preventing what is of a higher quality being revealed. Whereas temptation, the key teaching that comes out with regard to temptation is that temptation is the means by which goods and truths are instilled into the life. So genuine spiritual temptations are actually working to establish what is good and true. And they always have the aspect of us feeling we are pushed to the end of ourself, which is the whole point, right? Casting ourselves upon the Lord so far as our salvation is concerned. So for temptation to be a temptation, there has to be doubt. So temptations is always about combat and the struggle between the spiritual and the natural man or mind, and the desires in conflict, that the loves of the natural man are in competition with the loves of the spiritual man. So you have this kind of internal kind of rendering going on in that sense. And it's through the practice of the word that we get a more nuanced sort of feel for what these things are. Like, there are differences in quality of states. So there are depressions that beset purely natural sense of loss and that kind of level. And then there are what would be termed more a spiritual type depression. And depression and anxieties are part of the spiritual life. And so they need to be acknowledged as such. I think that's very important to assist in navigating those states. But depression is more associated with the will. That's just my observation, at least. Whereas anxiety is much more associated with the intellectual faculty, you know, the thoughts and that side of things, whereas depression is a dampening down of being able to do or function. So yeah, look, you know, the comparison drawn, you've got frenetic activity is one way of escaping from things. And then you have the kinds of thoughts that are associated with depression, which are much more a drawing into the self. And the process is one of, as is described in this text, if you like, with Pharaoh as the representation of proprium being opened up bit by bit and being confronted with the sense of powerlessness to do anything. And then there's a bit of relief. And then the will aspect of Pharaoh comes to the fore again, which is a hardening. There is a Emmaus Road recording and other material on the site. It's entitled Anxiety and Depression in the Spiritual Life. So that's something that's available on the site. Again, you know, these things are nuanced. There's not a one kind of definition that covers it all. And so what that emphasizes is the need to hold states as they arise as best we can and allow what needs to be revealed through the state to come forth, because that's the function. So any state that's arising arises because the Lord permits it, and the Lord permits it for the end in view, which is the salvation of the human race ultimately. So these states are like a way of clearing out what can't serve higher ends and establishing what can. So again, you know, like, I just come back to that idea of temptation. Spiritual temptation always is about instilling what is good and true on a deeper level, or having it integrated into our life. So we can't make a judgment about whether we succeed or fail in the temptation. That's not what it's about, because we know that what the word says is that so far as spiritual temptations are concerned, no one is allowed into them unless they can be brought through. I mean, that's a really powerful teaching if we can remember it, that whatever the state is, it's temporal and it will pass, and it's needful that it arises in order for the Lord to achieve what his ends are. And again, you know, that links into the discussion around prayer. Prayer is not really about asking for things. The Lord knows what is needed. Prayer as a praxis is about bringing the Lord or the principles of the word forward into our consciousness. So prayer is an opening of what is good and true to counter what is arising that opposes that. And when we're in those states, we don't have the capacity to discern it fully. But what we can do is just keep returning to what the Lord says is true, holding on to that, because that's the only thing we really can do. As soon as we get into seeking outcomes for others or for ourselves or whatever, like, we fall into the realm of operating out of proprium. Proprium is doing the praying, and that's probably not going to go in the right direction. And, you know, there are teachings that angels just don't hear it, or the Lord doesn't hear it. Anything that's contrary to his will is, it just passes over, you know. So we can be as fervent as we want, but if it's not within the Lord's will, then our energy is being put into the wrong place. So all prayer is thy will be done. That's really the only prayer. And the praxis of prayer is to bring us back to that fact, to hand over the situation to the Lord, because that's all that can be done.